statement show that on March 13th, 2003, David Lee was killed by a single gunshot wound to his forehead.
Knox County 911.
Help me, my husband shot himself.
The report on the 911 call was that he'd shot himself.
Gentleman's laying in a bed, guns laying beside him. Look right here, here's another hole. He's fired more than once. Look right above his head there. There's also a shot into the bed, which is a little suspicious in itself.
There was more than one shot. And while that's not unheard of, well, it didn't look like a suicide scene.
And the statement showed that the person who delivered that fatal blow was the defendant, Rainella Leaf.
He was shot almost in the middle of his forehead, but right above his left eye.
There were no signs of forced entry. There were no signs of a struggle. And there was no one else at the residence but the defendant.
Can you connect Rainella to that weapon? Fingerprints?
No.
Anyone see her pick up the gun?
No.
To any of the bullets that were used in that gun?
No.
That's a problem, isn't it, in this case?
Everything good about this woman was twisted. Everything good about this woman was turned around to be evil. There's not any real evidence to suggest a homicide.
And if I were to pull the trigger in this direction, I could strike myself the left eyebrow. Am I right?
Yes, you could.
There was only one person who wanted to harm David, and at that point it was David. He was acting suicidal.
And he makes his decision, and he takes aim.
He's a great lawyer. He's super prepared, fantastic lawyer, fantastic. Mm-hmm. He's a bad actor.
I just tried to focus on the evidence and where that was leading me.
It was hard for me to determine.
You'll tell me if that's approximately 1 foot.
Where we were going with certain things and trying to piece those things together.
Inside each line is an individual stain.
But you're not making a decision just by yourself. You're making a decision as a group.
This is a decision never to be taken lightly, and I assure you that this court takes this responsibility very seriously. As a senior judge, most every case that I try is somewhat controversial. Now, in this case, it's kind of simple. If it was a homicide, did the evidence show that Rainella Leith committed the homicide? Ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
I really could not believe what he was saying as he said it.
You're not quite sure if this is really where this is going.
I personally have studied every shred of evidence or testimony, just like you have.
Oh, I gotta breathe.
No matter where we think we're going here, that can't be how this ends.
The Widow on Solway Road.
Inside this courthouse in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Let the record reflect that all the jurors are in the box and all parties are present.
A real-life drama is taking place that rivals any Southern Gothic novel.
I'm Josh Hedrick. We haven't met yet before, have we?
No, we haven't.
It's a pleasure.
This is not a story that would happen in a sleepy New England town. It's too Southern.
He would bring her a rose once a week, and they would go out to dinner.
There is the gentility.
With your permission, I'll remove my coat because I had some difficulty with it previously.
And underneath that very respectable surface, it seems like everything's rotting to the core.
Unless you really know what's inside somebody's mind.
If I were to then place it here.
You don't really know why they do what they do you?
Best-selling author Diane Fanning has written about this case and the players.
This is something that a fiction writer would write about.
Give us your name, please, ma'am.
Raynella Leaf.
Raynella Leith, a 68-year-old grandmother, is at the center of this extraordinary tale.
Have you decided whether or not you wish to testify in your trial?
I do not wish to testify.
Very well.
You've got an unbelievable character. There were people she knew in college who said, well, she was great, she was a lot of fun, as long as you didn't cross her.
And ever since 2003, the former nurse has been the prime suspect in the death of her second husband, David Leith.
Help me! Help me! My husband's hurt himself!
It was Raynella's 911 call on the morning of March 13, 2003, that sent police rushing to the Leith home.
This is Detective Moyers with the Sheriff's Department. We're out on a possible suicide, gunshot wound.
These are audio and video recordings made by police at the scene.
No sign of a note or anything lying around anywhere.
Listen to investigators as they begin wondering about that death called in as a suicide.
The gun's laying next to his left hand, which is curled underneath him. We got three fired rounds. What I have a problem with is one is where the round's at and the way he's laying. I'm not saying it. It stinks. I'm just saying it strikes.
Detectives wanted to establish where Raynella had been all morning, and she agreed to talk, the only time she's spoken on the record. She remembers watching television with her husband, David, that morning before leaving his breakfast on the nightstand.
He kissed me goodbye, and he said, if I'm not here when you get back, I'll be at the Y. And I said, okay.
It was close to 9:30, she says, when she headed to the hospital to visit her mother-in-law.
Just call fourth floor. They can tell you better than I can.
When she arrived home shortly after 11, she found her husband laying in a bloody bed with a gunshot to his head.
I could tell something was wrong when I looked at him. I mean, I've worked in the emergency room before. I know.
Where did he keep his gun at?
I don't know where that gun is from. I've never seen that gun in my whole life.
The gun was believed to have belonged to David's parents. David's sudden death left Raynella a grieving widow for the second time. Her first husband, Ed Dossett, had died 11 years earlier. Raynella and Ed met at East Tennessee State University, where she was on the rifle team and studying to be a nurse. He planned to go to law school.
What drew those two together?
Raynella was such a confident woman. She had presence. And I think that Ed was really drawn to that.
They married and moved to Ed's 165-acre family farm in the tight-knit community of Solway, just outside Knoxville, where they raised cattle and three children, Maggie, Eddie Jr., and Katie.
Raynella was extremely protective of her children.
They became the power couple in town when Ed was elected Knox County District Attorney General. Raynella was director of nursing at Park West Hospital. But their lives took a tragic turn when at the age of 43, Ed was diagnosed with terminal cancer. 9 months later, he died, not from his illness, but in a freak farming accident. But Raynella wasn't a widow for long. 6 months later, she shocked friends and family when she remarried. David Leith was a local barber and Ed Dossett's best friend and neighbor.
She'd fix his food and start his car in the morning, and she just treated him like a king.
David's daughter, Cindy Wilkerson, and his cousin, Beth Roberts, say the whirlwind romance was all the talk in Solway. What do you think he saw in Rainella?
She's charming.
I said to my mother I thought he had hit the jackpot with this girl because she was so pretty and so interesting. I just thought this is going to be a great fit.
But Rainella's newfound happiness was short-lived. Less than 2 years after she remarried, her 11-year-old son was killed in a car crash.
She was very sad and very, very heartbroken.
Cindy says she began seeing changes in Rainella and her father's relationship.
They didn't seem as happy as they were when they first got married.
5 years later, more heartbreak. David was hospitalized. He began seeing a neurologist for signs of dementia and depression. In early 2003, Rainella says David's behavior became more erratic. Concerned, she began making notes in a private journal. On January 19th, she wrote, "Dave, hateful today. I cried and cried." 3 days later, things hadn't improved. "Dave, hateful. Controlling. His way or no way. I cried." 7 weeks after writing those words, David was dead. What did you think had happened to your dad?
Somebody had shot him, but I knew that he didn't do it.
Do you miss your dad?
Every day.
Every haircut, every styling in the middle chair at this Knoxville barbershop reminds Cindy Wilkerson of her father, David Leith. It's the same chair he used for 39 years.
My dad was fun, loving, caring, and it's a joy to use the same chair he did.
Cindy inherited the chair in 2000 when her father suddenly retired at the age of 54. What he kept secret were all those visits to the neurologist. If he was suicidal over dementia, Cindy never saw it.
When Rainella said, "Your dad committed suicide," did you initially think, well, maybe he did, but it's just hard to believe?
No, I never did think that. My dad was scared to death of guns, and I knew that he couldn't have done that.
And Cindy questioned why her right-handed father would have used his left hand to shoot himself above his left eye.
He was totally blind out of that eye.
As her doubts soared, so did her suspicions about her stepmother's role. And she wasn't alone. Within 24 hours, Dr. Darinka Malusnik, the Knox County medical examiner, discounted Rainella's claim of suicide and ruled David Leith's death a homicide. Rainella became the focus of attention. It was clear to David's family what should happen next.
Investigation, indictment, trial.
But it doesn't.
No, not even close.
Remember, Rainella was the widow of a district attorney general. Crime writer and 48 Hours consultant Diane Fanning says that was the problem.
Almost everybody working in that office either worked with Ed, knew Ed, or knew Rainella. There was a conflict of interest.
Finding an outside prosecutor to take the Leith case dragged on. Making things more difficult, no one could figure out the motive.
Murder doesn't always make sense. Cindy was becoming more and more frustrated. She wanted something to be done about her father's murder.
With the criminal case stalled, in March 2006, Cindy filed a civil suit against Rainella to stop her from inheriting David's estate. Prosecutors took notice. 3.5 years after David Leith's death, Rainella was charged with his murder. And that's when old suspicions surfaced about the death of her first husband. Ed Dossett had been found in a field in July 1992, surrounded by his cattle. He had apparently been trampled to death. Did anyone wonder about how Ed Dossett died?
Yes. The reports were an agricultural accident, but some folks in the community had a problem with that scenario. Ed grew up on a farm. For him to have been trampled by his own cattle, that just didn't make sense.
What's more, folks wondered how Ed, weak with cancer and heavily medicated, even managed to get all the way from his house to the cattle.
He died in a way that almost sounded like something you'd hear on a soap opera.
Diane Fanning says there had been a theory going around Solway that Dossett's death was actually about insurance. Rainella and the kids would get a bigger payout if it was an accident instead of cancer.
It might have even been Ed Dossett's idea himself, couldn't it have been?
It could have been Ed Dossett's idea, and that's what stopped some of the other people from wanting to pursue it. Because if Ed knew he was about to die, but he wanted his family to be more secure financially, he might have said, take me out there. Let the cows tromp on me.
Nearly a year after Rainella was charged with David Lee's murder, the same medical examiner who ruled that death a homicide reviewed Ed Dossett's file. Dr. Malusnik determined it wasn't cattle that killed him. It was a morphine overdose. It was a huge story. The widow of a district attorney general was now charged with murdering two husbands.
Rainella was now being described as a black widow.
Even though she had never gone to trial on any death.
No, it was just suspicions were gathering around her.
Which is why Diane Fanning called her book Her Deadly Web.
Is it possible that Rainella Leith is just a very unlucky woman?
Yeah, but coincidence makes me itchy.
Prosecutors decided to try her for David Lee's murder first. In 2009, 6 years after his death, Rainella finally went on trial. But it turns out that was only the beginning. The jury deadlocked.
11-1.
11-1 to convict. The judge was forced to declare a mistrial.
It was here in Knox County, so it wasn't shocking to me.
A year later, Rainella was back in court for trial number two. The case was the same, but this time jurors were unanimous. Rainella was convicted of first-degree murder and sentenced to life in prison.
I felt like justice had been served, and I was happy.
So were prosecutors. With Rainella behind bars, they dropped the murder charges for the death of her first husband, Ed Dossett, never expecting what came next.
I would describe her as lucky. Very lucky.
After she served 6 years, Rainella's conviction was tossed out. The reason? The trial judge had been seriously impaired with a drug addiction and was kicked off the bench.
What was your reaction when you heard the verdict had been overturned?
I was devastated. Couldn't believe it.
14 years after the death of David Lee.
Call the jury in, please.
It's now trial number three.
Statements show that on March.
And prosecutor Steve Crump's turn to try Rainella Leith.
Is there a way to describe this case?
Snake bit. Because what can go wrong will go wrong.
It's May 2017. Everyone is ready. The trial, one of the last of senior judge Paul Summers' career, is set to begin. First to present, District Attorney General Steve Crump, in what all sides hope will be the last trial in this case.
The person who delivered that fatal blow was the defendant, Rainella leave.
He argues Rainella's murderous plan unraveled the moment she fired that first shot and missed.
Once she missed, it changed the whole dynamic. She ended his life with that second shot, and then in an attempt to cover up, she fired that third shot to get gunshot residue on him.
You're describing a pretty cold-blooded killer.
Yes. That's what I think she is.
We'll show you what's been marked previously as Exhibit 36 and ask if you can identify that.
For the prosecution, the gun, a Colt 38 police special revolver, reveals some of the most important clues.
May I step down?
Don Carmen is a former Tennessee Bureau of Investigation agent.
Like I say, it's a very old, simple firearm, however, very effective.
This picture of the cylinder was taken at the scene. The three fired rounds have small indentations, or hammer strikes, in the center of the casing. The unfired rounds do not.
For each particular shot, it goes to the next chamber.
As you look at it right now, it's going clockwise.
Yes, Your Honor.
Prosecutors say that clockwise rotation of the cylinder tells the order of the shots.
The first cartridge fired would be this one. The second would be this one. And the third would be this one.
The first two cartridges are from Silver Remington bullets. Fragments of those were found in the wall and David Lee's head. But the third is different. It's a gold Winchester found shot through the mattress. If that gold bullet was fired last, as the prosecution believes, that means it came after David Leith was already shot in the head, severing his brainstem. Knox County Medical Examiner, Dr. Darinka Malusnik.
Was David Leith in any way capable of any sort of voluntary movement after that bullet transected his brain?
None whatsoever.
Next, prosecutors turn to the blood spatter. These round drops of blood on the wall tell investigators that David's head had to be raised nearly a foot above the mattress when the bullet was fired.
The only way that all of this works together is that if Rainella Leith is standing at the side of the bed and she misses with that first shot, and we know that the first shot was the one that went into the headboard, he raises up, the second shot occurs, and he falls straight back down to where he was found.
You cannot lay in this bed and face that direction and get that blood spatter on the wall. Blood doesn't turn corners.
But the defense insists that the same evidence points to David Leith as the shooter.
Multiple shot suicides are not impossible. They happen.
Rainella's team consists of Knoxville criminal attorney Josh Hedrick, along with Rebecca LeGrand, a Washington, D.C.-based lawyer with a background in science.
She was taking care of a sick husband who she loved. And for that to get twisted into what it did is upsetting. She's got hope that the justice system isn't so broken that it won't eventually realize the truth, which is that she's an innocent woman.
With no clear motive presented by the state, the defense starts with those three shots.
Each and every one of these shots could have been accomplished by David Leith himself.
And then raises doubts to Don Carmen about the order of those three shots.
You don't know for certain whether the gun was opened or the cartridges manipulated prior to that photo being taken.
I do not.
And as a result, you're unable to say with any degree of scientific certainty what order the shots were fired in.
That's correct, because in my discipline, they would be not testable.
But even if the prosecution's order of shots is correct, Kentucky State Medical Examiner and defense consultant Dr. Greg Davis says David Leith still could have been the shooter.
I'll give it to you. It's unusual. But to say because of that, it has to be a homicide, I just can't go that far. There is a phenomenon called cadaveric spasm where a person can actually their hands can squeeze immediately upon death.
What would you have ruled this?
I would have ruled this undetermined.
Which is what he believes Dr. Melusnik should have done in this case. Remember, within 24 hours of David Leith's death, Dr. Melusnik called it a homicide. She had not yet seen records from his neurologist or received a complete medical history.
Didn't have toxicology, didn't have ballistics, didn't have medical records. It went from, can we figure out what happened, to, can we prove this was a homicide?
In a previous trial, Dr. Melusnik testified that medications found in David's system would have rendered him, and I quote, incapacitated. In other words, he would have been unable to kill himself. But in trial number 3, Dr. Melusnik did not repeat that claim.
I'm glad that she reassessed and didn't try to make the same claims about toxicology at the 3rd trial, but it's 6 years too late for my client.
Dr. Melusnik declined 48 hours' request for an interview. But in Rainella's 3rd trial, she stands firm that David Leith's death was a homicide.
I was very confident, and 14 years later, I'm even more so confident, yes.
Dr. Davis, can you say unequivocally that she didn't kill her husband?
No, I cannot.
But there's not enough evidence to say she did.
Right. As a forensic pathologist, at least on the evidence that I've been privy to, there's no way on earth I think she's guilty.
But there is information Dr. Davis was not privy to.
If anybody has any doubts as to whether David was murdered by Rainella, maybe they need to talk to Steve Walker.
Well, I see a killer because she tried to kill me.
In a final and dramatic attempt to convince a jury of suicide, the defense brings the blood-stained bed to the courtroom, still preserved.
If the record could reflect, I'm pointing to the hole in the middle of the headboard.
Defense forensic expert Celia Hartnett.
I've marked the portion where
shows jurors how David Leith could have fired all 3 shots.
If I were to lie in bed and I were to aim at my head and pull the trigger and miss high, and create this.
Yes.
And then, frustrated that I've missed, sat up and pulled the trigger. It went into my head here.
Yes.
And then if I fell, and my hand squeezed again, it would be consistent with this direction.
Not just with the direction, but also with the distance.
We're not saying we know exactly what happened. We're just saying we know there are multiple ways that all of this makes sense that don't have anything to do with a homicide. There was only one person who wanted to harm David, and at that point it was David. He was acting with his physicians, suicidal.
He's becoming useless. And a proud man doesn't want to be useless.
But for the prosecution, the most incriminating evidence isn't at the crime scene. It's at the barber shop, where Rainella called Cindy Wilkerson on the morning of the shooting. Rainella had already left David at home. She made the call from Park West Hospital, where she was visiting David's mother.
She asked me if I had seen my dad and that he had went to work out on an empty stomach.
Was that normal?
No, she never called me at work.
That was the first indication on March 13th, 2003, that anything was unusual about David Leith.
The prosecution says the call was part of Rainella's elaborate alibi to prove she wasn't at home with David, but they say she miscalculated. Remember, Rainella told police she put breakfast by the bed and left the house around 9:30. She made the call to Cindy just 20 minutes later.
There would have been no reason to say, have you seen him? There would have been no reason to ask if he'd worked out. And there certainly would have been no reason to say he didn't eat his breakfast, because there's no way she could have known that unless she had been there, and unless the only reason she knew he hadn't eaten breakfast was because he was dead.
Have you seen your father today?
That's the question the prosecution wants burned into jurors' minds as both sides make their final case.
It's the only explanation. Rhinella Lee is guilty of the first-degree premeditated homicide of David Lee.
We can't say that the facts exclude the theory that David Lee shot himself, as I demonstrated for you. Be as diligent as you have been since we started, and to return a verdict of not guilty. Murder David Leith.
As all eyes turn to the jury, there are things about Rhinella Leith they'll never hear. They don't know about Ed Dossett, and they don't know about Steve Walker.
I'm a crouton on a real big salad here, and this is a big salad in this town.
Steve Walker's ex-wife was Ed Dossett's secretary. Their relationship, as it turns out, was more than just professional. In 1995, 3 years after Ed's death, Steve found out during divorce proceedings that the son he raised was actually Ed Dossett's biological child. It came as a terrible shock to Steve and Rhinella.
I mean, in some ways you felt that you were on her side.
Rhinella's, yes. Right. I thought we was on the same team.
He could not have been more wrong. According to a police report filed by Rhinella, on the morning of May 26th of that year, she found Steve, quote, acting psychotic near Ed's grave on the farm. She told police she began firing warning shots into the ground to chase him away, and that Steve then took the weapon and fled on foot. But when Steve filed his own report, he told a very different story. He says that same morning, Rhinella picked him up at the auto shop where he works and drove him to the farm to talk about the affair.
Till I seen the gun, we was as friendly as me and you right now.
When they got to Rhinella's barn, Steve says she suddenly pulled out a revolver.
In a police interview, Steve told investigators Rhinella then said, I'll kill you, you son of a bitch, then I'll raise the son.
She had a towel around her hands, and she comes up with it and starts shooting.
But the former marksman missed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Steve started running, but tripped and fell.
I'm defenseless. She said, I used to be a better shot than that, but I can hit you from here. And she aimed that gun, and I closed my eyes. She pulled the trigger. I knew I was gone.
But the gun
click
was out of bullets.
There's no doubt in my mind. If she hadn't run out of bullets, I'd be dead.
The police believed Steve Walker's story, and Rhinella was arrested and charged with attempted murder. But she took a deal and pled guilty to a lesser charge of assault. After 6 years, her record was cleared.
Why would she plead guilty?
It's the same thing I would have told her, is this is a plea that will get expunged. There is no jail time. Take this deal and walk away.
Rhinella Leith did walk away.
And I thank you for your time and attention. And Ms. Leith thanks you for your time and attention.
22 years later, she's hoping to walk away again. But as the jurors are ready to have their voices heard.
As jurors, you are the ones that will decide the case.
Something happens that no one sees coming.
If you can picture like a cartoon, you know, of someone's jaw hitting the floor.
Thank you.
I really, really tried to pay attention and took notes. So I was really looking forward to deliberating.
With her daughter by her side, Rhinella Leith arrives at court for the final time.
Let the record reflect that all parties are present in the courtroom, including the defendant.
Before the jurors can decide her fate, there's just one more piece of business.
If it pleases the court.
It's a defense motion called a Rule 29.
Pursuant to Rule 29.
A routine request made in nearly every trial to throw out the case for lack of evidence. In most cases, the judge simply denies the motion and gives the jurors the case.
Only two words are required, either motion granted or motion denied.
But then, like so many times in the story of Raynella Leith, something completely unexpected happens.
In short, the state has failed to meet their burden. The defendant's motion for judgment of acquittal is granted. The defendant, Raynella Leith, is not guilty. The case against Raynella Leith is dismissed.
Not guilty. The judge, on his own, acquits Raynella Leith of murder. After 14 years of suspicion, 6 years behind bars, and three hard-fought trials, just like that, it's all over. As the defense celebrates,
she's free. She's done. The end.
David Leith's daughter, Cindy, sits stunned. The prosecution does too.
I don't understand it. I don't have an explanation.
And under Tennessee law, there's no appeal either because the judge made his extremely rare decision before the jury began deliberations.
Put your money where
these jurors, initially shocked, become angry.
We were just used. I mean, they just used us as set pieces pretty much.
If Judge Summers was so convinced that he was right about the evidence, why not let us deliberate it?
And how do you explain that?
I can't. Only Judge Summers can.
So we asked Judge Summers, now retired, to make his case to 48 hours. And he agreed.
Strictly based on the evidence that I heard on both sides, but particularly on the state side, if I'd have been the district attorney general, I would not have brought the case to trial.
Did you choose to do this, to end this case, to finally end this case?
Yes.
You did?
I did. When I realized the evidence was legally insufficient, I decided to end this case by doing my job and granting the motion for judgment of acquittal.
Judge Summers believed that there was enough evidence for the jury to decide a homicide may have occurred, but he was convinced the prosecution didn't meet its burden to prove that Raynella Leith had the time or the opportunity to commit it.
There was no gunshot residue found on her clothes or around her. She had an alibi that the state could not prove the time of death. The evidence was clearly insufficient to show that she was the perpetrator of the crime. And finally, there was no evidence to show that she was even the last person ever to see David Leith alive.
If you were so sure that there wasn't enough evidence for the jury to convict her beyond a reasonable doubt, wouldn't the jury have come to the same conclusion?
I was simply doing my job, not trying to pass the buck to the jury.
Judges sometimes make these extraordinary decisions when they fear jurors might be swayed by emotion and not evidence. And that may have been a factor in this case. While we will never know for sure what the whole jury would have done, we have a clue.
If you had gotten to vote, how would you have voted?
Guilty.
How would you have voted?
Guilty.
How would you have voted?
Guilty.
Do you feel Raynella Leith got away with murder?
I absolutely feel she got away with murder.
For William McMichael, Jesse Capps, and Michael Persicano, it was the gun that pointed to Raynella as the killer.
There's no way David Leith fired that third shot.
And you don't believe the defense witness who said, well, you can have this spasm after death that pulled the trigger the third time?
That's fantasy.
What most convinced you, Jesse? That this wasn't just a murder, but that Raynella Leith was the one who killed her husband.
When Joshua Hedrick was sitting on that bed and he was twirling that cylinder on that gun, well, a burden to my family, it was just so corny.
A proud man doesn't want to be a burden.
It was fake. He was trying so hard. After that, I was like, all right, they're trying so hard that it's so obvious now.
It wasn't just these three. They say shortly after the judge's decision, a majority of jurors gathered near the courthouse and came to the same conclusion.
Admittedly, they did not deliberate, but they would have found her guilty. Does that make it worse?
Yeah, I guess so in some ways. But in another sense, it tells me I did the right thing. And more importantly, our work as trial attorneys was spot on.
For David Lee's family, it's little consolation.
He stole that verdict from the family, from the prosecution, from the jury. It was a theft.
Some in this town will always call her a black widow. But for Rainella Leith, none of that matters.
Rainella, how do you feel? Do you want to talk to us?
Because as she leaves courtroom number two...
How are you doing, Rainella?
You guys weren't worried about her before, so leave her alone now.
She walks away, a free woman.
Do you have anything
Please
to say?
Please leave my mom alone.
Did it cross your mind you might be letting a killer go free?
You know, there's a difference between being not guilty and being innocent. If the state does not prove its case, they are found not guilty. It doesn't say that they're innocent.
So you're not saying that Rainella Leith is innocent. You're saying not guilty.
There are two entities of which I'm aware that know the answer to that question. One is the good Lord above, and the other one is the defendant, Rainella Leith.